back now to the entire topic on basically child training, doing it biblically or doing it fleshly. And I encourage anybody who's going to be listening to this audio to go to Dome Parish and look up the teaching on biblical parenting versus fleshly parenting and listen to it. And coming from parents here, because we've got two little boys, we love them. I mean, God gave it to us. We're parents. We love our children. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to like the teaching. If you care about God's word and God's truth and you care about doing things God's way, you cannot refute any of it biblically. Nothing. It's all from God's word, and it's what God's word teaches us and what we need to do. And I'm actually thankful for the teaching, because it ended up exposing some areas in our life and in our parenting that need correction and areas that we are weak in.
Amen.
Amen. So that's actually a good thing. I mean, a wise man loves a rebuke, and we love being tested and corrected, because we'd rather have the correction when we can still fix it.
Yes, I was just thinking that I'm really thankful it came now when the children are young enough to be able to fix it. I kind of feel like the Lord has been very gracious and merciful to us.
Yeah, so we're going to be working on that, probably taking our ministry more towards that direction, because, yeah, there's nobody out there, like, there's false teachers out there, I'm not going to name them to give them credence or anything, that do teach on child training and that, but their mindsets are wrong. They've got a little bit of good information, but then you sit back and you look at the product, at the fruit of what they teach, and they are worldly, carnal, so-called Christians who are foolish. They play around, they play games, they're just typical worldly, carnal Christians with a bunch of heresy, false doctrine, and worldliness. And then their children are the product of basically the same thing. They claim Jesus and supposedly are Christians, but they're worldly, they're carnal, they're fleshly, they're not holy, godly, set apart, they don't preach the biblical gospel, they don't live set apart lives, they don't even teach like the basic fundamentals of like teaching women how to dress biblical, teaching the men how to dress biblically. They don't, like, the product of their teaching is very apparent, and it's very rotten. And so there's nobody that we know of that's teaching about, that's actually, how do I say this? There's nobody that we know of that's biblical, set apart, holy, living according to God's word, that's actually biblical, that's teaching how to raise your children biblically. We don't know of anybody, and it's kind of a huge need. And while we are actually in the process of even learning this ourselves, we're going to start teaching more on it to basically share what mistakes we've made and what we're learning and how to do it biblically and what God's word teaches. And the biggest, like, okay, and that's the thing about things like parenting. It's probably, I'm going to say 10% of it is the teaching. And then like 90% of it is consistent. That's probably one of the biggest things when it comes to parenting is consistency. Because you can start and make a really good run of it for a season. And if you don't continue, it's kind of like our faith. And that's where I'm going to go with it. That's my biggest thoughts on it is this. I'm just going to give it away here because we're going to be talking about it anyways. Parenting is essentially a mirror image of your entire faith in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that, and it opens up, if you can grasp that and look at it from that angle, and I'm working on an article more about that, that if you can view parenting and your children in the same light, in the same way, basically don't look at it as, well, I might as well, I'm going to have to go back now to kind of set the framework, because if you haven't listened to the teaching, we probably have to, like, you have to listen to it. I'm not going to cover it all. I'm not going to redo the entire teaching. I'm just sharing my thoughts on it that exposed weak areas. And I think first and foremost, the thing that we had to ponder, go deep and, well, let's just say it, repent of, turn away from, and put away from us is, first and foremost, the way we view our children, our understanding, our mindset, and our view of our children. If we look at children and we had this mindset, this is the mindset that we're having to repent of and turn away from and correct. If you view children as children, which is what the culture teaches you, churchianity teaches you, your flesh teaches you, God's word does not teach you. All the influences in your life teach you to look at children as children. The culture is geared toward childishness. Churchianity is geared toward trying to make it appealing to families, because they realize that if you have, you cater to the children and you're childish, then a lot, most houses, because of this, are ruled by the children. Then you get the parents to come along, because the parents are not ruling the children, they're being ruled and dragged along by their children. And it's all about making money with churchianity. So everything and all the outside influences of the world, let me just lump it up. Satan's kingdom teaches you to view children as children. I mean, they are children, but you don't view them as, oh, well, just a child, and, you know, let him play, let him run, let him be fleshly. And it's a bad mindset. The proper mindset, biblically, is we see children not as our own, first of all. They're not my children, they're not our children, they're not your children. They're God's. Now, they might not be God's children, they're God's creation, but your children are not your own. They are God's, and God gives them to you for a short season. You get like probably, I'm going to say 16 years. It may be 18 by the time they're legally adults. With 16, they're independent. Basically, they want autonomy. You're not going to find a lot of 16, 17-year-olds. They're still technically at the age where they don't have discernment, but you probably have less than 18 years. Let's use 18 as a marker. You have less than 18 years with those children, and then they're no longer yours. And they go out on their own, and they probably still call you mom and dad, but they're not yours. They're their own, and you have to hand them over to God. So biblically, view these children not as children who are basically yours to keep, and you raise them up to be a family that's together forever. You view them as souls that God loaned you, and you are responsible for raising them up in the nurture and admonition and fear of God, to give them a basis that when they reach the age where you hand them off to God, they have a foundation, because they're going to reach an age where, you know, the children, they're not going to be our own. They're not. I mean, you get them for a season and then they're off. They're doing their own thing. They make their own choices and they live their own life and they're accountable to God. Family, earthly family, this is a big one. And there's a lot of churches, like, for example, the Mormons, and it's heretical. It's completely outside of God's word that teaches that family is forever. It's eternal. It's not. Not even marriage. Marriage is probably the biggest covenant that God blessed on this earth. And it's not eternal, because Jesus said in the resurrection, did neither marry or are given in marriage. There is no marriage in heaven. The marriage covenant is purely physical on this earth for this life. And family with children is even less than that. Right? It's not an eternal thing. And people view it and treat it as such. If they would view your children as a soul, not as a child, as in a baby, a soul that you are not trying to make your friend, and you're not trying to make them love you, and you're not trying to make them cling to you for the rest of their life. You are trying to raise them up so that when you hand them off to God, they're going to have a foundation where they will know how to kill their flesh, they'll know how to submit to their authority, they'll know what right and wrong means, they'll know what the word of God calls them to do. And then they have the choice to make. They will either submit to God and Christ and become saints, and in that case, your brother and sister in the Lord, and that is eternal if they endure and you endure, or they will turn away from God, become God's enemies, rebellious against God, who need to repent lest they perish, and very likely your enemies if you continue following Christ. And that is one of the biggest things that needs to be corrected, is how you actually look at your children. If you look at it fleshly, you see them children as children, small children, babies or infants. In the flesh, you want to love them, you want to cuddle them, you want to basically be close to them and all lovey, and you want them basically to have affection for and all of that. I mean, that's all good. That's natural, okay? We love our children. We give our children hugs. We give our children kisses. That's something that's okay. That's natural affection. But that can never supersede the mission we have with them, that their love is supposed to be the same way that we love God. And this is where I'm going to go with it. If we view children biblically, we will treat them and look at them as a mirror image of our faith and our life in God, in Christ. And let me explain that, because it's kind of going to be what my article is all about. If we view them as fleshly and as children, our mindset is going to be to basically try to raise children and just get them raised up, and as long as they're okay and we're one big happy family, okay, then whatever, that's that. That's the way the world does it. We see the fruit of that all around. It's not good and it's not biblically. If we view them biblically, what I mean, what, look at the paradox of God's word. God's word teaches us, look at Brother Tupos' teaching. Again, I encourage you to go listen to it, and this will all make sense. Look at how God deals with his house. Look at how God orders his house. Look at how God deals with his children. That is the way we need to deal, view, and act and treat our children. It's a mirror image. And we have the perfect example in God's word. And once it kind of opens up to you and you grasp it, the entire word of God becomes your pattern for how to do biblical parenting. When it comes to you're having your house in order. Again, we had this mistake you were making where you have mindsets, they're in there, you know. They probably need to burn off some steam, right?
Yeah, I can speak to that one. That really was a big one that I had to get over and put my flesh down on. No, they don't actually need to burn off steam. They need to learn how to sit, be calm, and content. Like, do we need to burn off steam as adults?
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. You've got mindsets like, well, let children be children. Oh, let them run and play. Let them go run and scream. Let them go burn off energy. Hang on a second. If our children, first of all, let me back up here again. I need to back up and kind of lay the groundwork here so that you understand where we're coming from in all of this. Children, God has no grandchildren. Let that sink in. Our children are not going to be saints of God because we are. We hope they will be. We pray they will be. The best thing we can do is give them a solid foundation and give them an example of what it means, and hope and pray and preach the gospel that when they reach the age of accountability, where they get turned over, passed over, handed over to God, that they know what the gospel is, they know what it means, and they have the foundation. I'm going to go back to that, and then they will choose to follow Christ. Right now, children, this is a big one. We see this. This is another one of those mindsets that this was an area that we were completely wrong about. I don't think we were as wrong. We kind of knew it, but having it worded and grasped makes it more real. But I do know a lot of people this will hit you. Your children are not part of Christ. Not in the sense of being a born-again saint of God. They're not part of the body of Christ. They are innocent. Yes, Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." They're innocent until they reach an age where they're accountable, and it's going to go from there. But they are not blood-bought, born-again saints of God. They have, let this sink in, they have an unregenerated heart that is still the fleshly, unregenerated heart of sin and the flesh. They want what their flesh tells them to do. They do not have the Holy Spirit and a new heart and a conscience that is going to guide them and lead them, and they don't understand discernment. What they do have, and this is what parents are, God gave them you. If we're the parents, our job is to be that restraint, that conscience, that authority, and that basically breaking from sin that we have as adults through the Spirit and the Word. We yield our will to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and God chastises us, He guides us, He sets boundaries, He sets restraints. And this is where I'm going to go continuously back to this comparison between our life in Christ and biblical parenting, because it is a mirror image, because God is our Father in heaven. The Bible tells us, well, again, listen to Brother Tupos' teachings, corporal punishment and how we discipline our children. How does God discipline and punish us when we sin? When our children are out of order and they're unruly or they're disobedient and they're not in control and order, we're to discipline them and break their will and bring the rod of correction and chastise them to bring them back to where they are in perfect order, submitted to our will. The same way, when we break from God's will and we are rebellious and we are unruly, God chastises us that we might repent and turn back to become His will. The difference is, and this is the one difference, is that if we choose to continuously reject God, God will reject us. With our children, we're commanded to keep breaking their will until they get to the point, because right now they don't have that will through the Spirit of choose right and wrong. They don't have an understanding of right and wrong. They're children. They don't have the concept of discernment and deep thought, and they don't know sin yet, right? And this is another point. When we disobey God's word and God's will, it is a sin, right? And the wages of sin is death. This is another big thing that I know we were weak on viewing it like this. You view your children as perhaps being a little out of control, as, oh, they're just out of control, or, oh, they're just acting up. And we come up with these platitudes to stick on it that the world and churchianity and whatever is like, if your child acts up a bit, it's being disobedient, right? Do you view it as sinful? Because that's what it is. Now, the child probably has no clue that it is sinful, okay? He doesn't understand sin yet, but it is nonetheless a sin. And again, how do we deal with sin in our life? How does God deal with sin in His house and in His body? Quite severely. I mean, look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts. He killed them. Now, we're not commanded to kill our children. We're commanded to... hey, in the Old Testament, you were commanded to kill him. I'm not talking about an infant. I'm talking about somebody who was listen to the teaching. In Torah law, if you had a son or a daughter who was continuously disobedient and rebellious to their parents, they would stone him. They would kill him to put evil away from Israel.
Yeah.
That is how we ought to view disobedience. And when as parents, we look at our children, are they in order and in control? And I want to talk about the order and control part, because it all kind of ties in. It all kind of ties together into itself. When we talk about order and control, again, this is an area that was kind of exposed as being weak for us. Do you let your children like run in the house and play everywhere and just roam where they want to go in your house? Because that's not order and control. Again, let's go back. Do we, as blood-bought saints of God, get to go where we want, do what we want, roam around where we want, and basically just go do our own will? No. That would be... No saint would just go, yeah, yeah. No. No, it's thy will be done. We do what God's will tells us and God's word tells us, and that's what we do. If we just go do what we want to do, we're in sin. We're in rebellion.
Amen.
That's not in order. The house of God is not in order if all the saints are just going to do what they want and not what God tells them to do. That's not, again, so why are we having a double standard for our children? Well, that's another problem, partiality. We can't be partial to our children. Again, all of these things are really, really hard to swallow in the flesh, because you're like, but they're my children. I know, I'm a dad. I mean, we have young children. I know this is a hard one to swallow in the flesh, right? But you can't be partial to your children either. God hates partiality. Is God partial with his children? I mean, does God love one child above another? Does God let his children get away with sin and more than he lets anyone else? No, I mean, quite the contrary. Judgment begins at the house of God. God deals more. The servant that knows his master's will and doesn't do it is going to suffer more stripes. God is actually more severe with his house because they know his will. That's how partial God is. He's not. God hates partiality. And we should not be partial there either.
No, I just had a thought that it is hard to swallow. Like, I'm a mom, and they're small, and you want to maybe play with them, kiss them, cuddle them a lot. But that all needs to be balanced out with a lot more discipline and control and training, and training them up to be orderly, obedient, self-controlled young adults. And I was just... I've just been pondering this a lot. And it can be hard, like very hard in the flesh. But if you don't have a willing heart, it's going to be impossible. But if you have a willing heart, the Lord is going to help you in it. But it's actually freeing. You're not their slave and to basically be bossed around by their every little want and need. No.
Okay, well, let me jump in there and explain that. People are going to go, well, I'm not a slave to my children. Your children are just out of order. Actually, no, they probably are. Because let me explain the difference here between this is what our goal and our focus is and where we're going. Children that are in order biblical. And again, there's scripture backs all of this up. Let's look at our life as saints. Our life as saints, we eat, we sleep, and we do the functions of day-to-day life, okay? It's one. We work and labor to support ourselves in our house and provide for ourselves, okay? That's two. We study the Word of God in fellowship with other believers and edify and encourage one another. That's three. We go forth and we preach the Word and do ministry. And basically do what Christ called us to do. Preach the word, disciple, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. That's four. And if we have to, and we get tired and we need it, we go into God's creation to restore and rest. Those five things is what God ordained and what the body of Christ and what being a saint and a child of God is about. Okay? Now let's, again, mirror image that in our children. They eat and they sleep. Okay? Then they learn how to do chores and take care of the house and help and do things they're supposed to do to learn how to be. Again, the entire focus of their children is not to raise them up for us. It's to raise them up for God. So what we're trying to do is lay the foundation, and all of God's Word teaches us this, is to train them up and teach them the foundation. So that when they get to that age, we pass them over to God, and we've done everything we can do to give them the push they need to basically, if they choose to follow Christ, they already know what it means in the most part. They need a regenerated heart so that they can do it and see it and commit to it, but they'll have once they do that, they have the foundation already laid in their flesh and in their actions and in their character. That's what the goal is here. So they eat and they sleep. They learn how to do chores, and we teach them how to work and be useful and diligent and how to live their lives as functioning adults, okay? We teach them that. I mean, that is something that, kind of do articles and all of that, how we teach them, for example, how you teach them your ABCs. You got to teach them reading and writing. You got to teach them how to function, how you go in the store and buy bananas, how do you clean up your house, how do you take out the garbage, how do you fill gas in the car, all of these things that are just... They're in that category of basically where we would put, say, work and labor for our children. It's teaching them how to do that and what they can do there. Number three, we as saints study God's word and fellowship and edify the body. They need to learn in that category. And this is a big one. This deserves an entire teaching article in and of itself. And it's on the list of things to do Again, if you understand and grasp biblically the mindset, this is the biggest thing for us, is repenting of an unbiblical mindset when it comes to children and viewing it biblically, turning to God's biblical mindset. All of God's word becomes your standard for how to do this. Children do not do ministry. This is a big one. We see that with tons of so-called child ministries, where they have their children either going on mission trips, or they have youth ministry mission trips. I mean, youth groups aren't biblical. They have an entire concept on it. Or they have their children out handing out gospel pamphlets. Children do not do ministry. If they are not born again, blood-bought saints of God that know the gospel, understand the gospel, and have been transformed by the gospel, they should not be preaching the gospel. Okay, that's just basic common sense in God's word, okay? Someone who can't see the kingdom of God, who hasn't been born into it, should not be preaching the kingdom of God, okay? But what they do is they sit quiet, neat, and order. I mean, when we study God's word, again, this is our model. How does the body study God's word? The body, when they gather, all things are done in order. God is not the author of confusion, okay? They sit quiet. They look at the women. The women are not permitted to speak in the body of Christ. But they sit, and if they will learn anything, they ask their husbands at home. The same way the children sit, quiet, neat, order, and they listen to God's word, and they are taught the doctrines of God, and they're taught what it means, and they see the biblical fellowship, and they're edified and taught, and the word of God gets poured into them, so that when they reach of an age where the Spirit moves in them, that it will convict them, and that they have all of that within, and they understand biblically. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise them up to when they reach an age, if they follow Christ, wow, they had an entire upbringing of learning the oracles and doctrines of God. They know it. Right? So that's another point. A lot of their time is spent sitting quiet in order. How much time do we spend in our lives in the Word, studying the Word, doing articles, and edifying one another?
A lot.
A lot. That's how much time. Again, this is a mirror image. I'm using this. Unless somebody corrects me and I'm off balance here. This is our image and our goal. This is our model. How does God run His family, His house, and His body? This is how we run ours. I mean, are we wiser than God here? No.
No, you can't argue against God.
No. And then number four, we go forth and we preach the gospel. Again, this ties back to the same concept. Children don't do ministry, but what they do is, again, they sit orderly and quiet, and they watch and learn. When mom and dad are doing ministry, the children are quiet and orderly and neat and subjected, and they learn and see what it means to preach the gospel and what ministry is all about. And then this is 1/5 of their time, not 90% of it. 1/5 is what we would do restoring and resting. That would be play time. And again, when we restore and when we rest, we don't go running and screaming. We don't go into the park and run around screaming and jumping and yelling and everything. No, what do? We spend some quiet time restoring and focusing on something and going into God's creation and relaxing. Okay, the same way playtime for children is not them running all over the place yelling and screaming. Playtime is, okay, now here you play. And again, this is in a specific area. It's all ordered and in control. In a specific area. Now sit and play with these toys. You have your time with them. You can read a book. You can do this. But again, it's ordered and controlled. Because just like we are ordered and controlled, is there a time when the saints of God get to completely let loose, let down their guard, blow off some steam, start cursing up a blue streak, run around yelling, screaming, kicking, and just doing whatever they want to do?
No.
So why do we let our children do that? It's not biblical.
Especially if you think about that, it's completely opposite to what you want them to be when they grow up, which is saints of God following after God, functioning adults that are able to work and be sober-minded.
Amen. Again, so we get back to this, that We want to raise them up to be sober-minded, godly, young adults that are going to choose to follow Christ. We don't have a guarantee that they will. We're trying to lay the foundation for them so that our hands are clean. Because they're not our children, they're God's children. How does God want His children to be raised? Go read the Word of God. Everything that applies to us applies on a physical level to them. The same way when it comes to toys. Again, this is something that we had to learn. We used to have like a box of toys for them, right? And then you see something interesting. Oh, they'd like to play with that. No, 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 no. What does God's Word teach us to be content with?
Food and raiment.
So if the saints of God are to be content with food and raiment, why are we teaching our children to basically need a bunch of fleshly stimulus and a gazillion covetous toys? No, have a few of them, yeah, it's okay, but what they do have as toys, teach them to be content with little and play with it. Again, the foundation here is what we're trying to teach them to be godly. We're not trying to teach them to be fleshly. We're trying to teach them to be godly. Fleshly, they want to go into a thrift store. They want to go into a dollar store. They want to go into Walmart. And they just want to gimme, gimme, gimme. That's what the flesh wants. And that's what the world caters to. Biblically, the saints are to be content with food and raiment. They don't even include shelter in that. I mean, we're extra thankful for shelter. We have a roof over our heads. We have a hard-sided tent. We're living in a van. Praise God that we have roof over our heads when it's raining. Okay?
Amen.
We're extra thankful. We're to be content with food and raiment. Now, our children, again, we're not supposed to be partial here. And I have to say that it is really... it's opening up. It opens up when you grasp this, how to view your children. This is the biggest thing I wanted to talk about here. I'm going to do a bunch of articles. It's going to come where we're going to share. Like, we made pretty much all of those mistakes that we just covered in having a worldly mindset. And as I said, this teaching exposed, like, we've already corrected quite a bit of them. And this teaching exposed even more mindsets that we needed to repent of, and we are repenting and turning away from it. That's what repentance means. Repentance doesn't just apply to something. I mean, let's go back to the gospel here. Repentance doesn't just apply to you turning away from adultery and TV and movies. It means a turning away from everything that is not of God and turning towards God's ways. Sometimes you might not even know you have it, but when something gets exposed in your life, that's what you got to do. Repent. Turn around and turn away from it and turn towards God and His ways. And we're learning that with our children because we want to have a house that's in order. Because you know what? All of these things, this is a big point that hit me today. Besides everything that this is teaching our children, besides everything that this is teaching them, it's pretty much... It's like a double... Well, God's Word is... It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It cuts just as deep in our lives as parents. Because every single one of these things that is required for us... So this is what's required for us to do to the children. On our side, it requires killing the flesh and putting it down. Because your flesh wants to... No, they're just children. You're harsh. You're mean. You're wicked. You're cruel. You're blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, get down, you old Adam. You gotta die. Okay?
Yeah.
Get down, you fleshly wicked man. You don't want the things of God, but of the flesh. Okay? You got to put down your flesh. You've got to bring the rod of correction, and you've got to bring rebuke, and you've got to bring punishment, corporal punishment. Listen to Brother Tupos' teaching. I'll eventually have an article on it, what it means and what the Bible teaches about it. It's very clear. You've got to do it, even if your flesh doesn't want to. You have to be consistent. You cannot be partial. You have to be disciplined. And here's another big one. This is big. Your children need to be taught to fear their parents. Okay? This sounds completely against everything that as a parent you might think you want. I don't know of a parent that's going to go, my children fear me. Oh yeah, I want that. No. In the flesh, pretty much everyone's going to go, what? No way, you're crazy. Actually, no. Biblically, that's what the Word of God teaches. That children should fear their parents, especially the father, to the point where they will fear to disobey you. It's not like they're just terrified of you. They see you and they're terrified. No, they still love you, but they're fearful. Just like our fear is towards God. We love God, but we are fearful of Him. If you don't fear God, you're a fool. We fear Him and we fear to disobey any of His laws. You do not want to break one of God's laws. That's sin. And if you do it, repent, stop it, cut it out. God's going to chastise. You're going to lose your soul. The same way the children need to fear us. And the way we do that is by basically not being fleshly with them, but by being disciplined and stern, the way God is with us. God does not reach down from heaven. And yes, He comforts us. Yes, He's there. He's a good Father. Yes, we can come to Him at any time with anything, and He'll help us overcome it through the Spirit, all for His glory. He's a good Father. Again, this is our model. But we fear Him. We know that He has an authority. We know that if we disobey His will, there are going to be consequences. And we know that if we keep disobeying it, I mean, for us, look at God. This is our ultimate model. If we keep disobeying and sinning against God, God is going to cast us into hell. He's going to cast our soul into hellfire. That is how much He's going to punish disobedience. Now, again, going back to children, if our children disobey us, it is a sin. If we don't break their will and we don't punish them severely enough to get them to stop sinning, they need to have the same fear and reverence of us, that when they reach the point of this is, we teach them to fear their authority. We teach them that they do not have a will outside of their authority. And the parents, we are their authority. God has ordained us to rule over them and to be their authority, to break their will and to punish their disobedience and to train them up in the ways of righteousness and to restrain them from sin until they get to the point where they are no longer under our authority that way, but His. And then it's His word and His Spirit that they must yield to, and they are under His authority. And we are raising them up until we hand them over. And what we do, if we do this biblically, picture this. If you raise fleshly children and you're fleshly with them, and they raise up, and then all of a sudden they have to put down their flesh and submit to the Spirit of God. I mean, if they're truly born again and they want Christ, they could do it. Trust me, it's going to be 10 times harder than it has to be. Now, biblically, they're used to being in subjection to their father and their mother. They're used to fearing their authority and not disobeying. And they're used to having consequences and punishment for their sin. And they understand what it means to put their will aside and submit to doing what their authority tells them to do. Now they rise up. Now they want to follow Christ. Now, oh, hey, their flesh is already in order. Now they just got to beat it down and keep it going. And you just gave them a head start in overcoming a lot of what people have to overcome when they're coming out of really big flesh problems. We just had someone who we called a brother who had this issue, and it turned out that because he did not have his will submitted all the way to God's will, it caused shipwreck. And yeah. This is basically what we're doing to our children. Look at it this way, parents. If you are not doing this biblically, and it sounds harsh, it sounds like, oh no, I want to love my child, and no, they should not fear me, they should love me. Hang on a minute. You are setting them up to shipwreck.
And not only their shipwreck, you could be, if you start yielding to your children, letting them rule over you, letting them have a whole lot of flesh and a lot of you, which isn't in line with God's order, you could end up following them when they decide to not serve God.
Yeah, and that happens too, and there's lots of examples of that too, because this is what happens. Parents have their children, again, this topic, this audio could go on for hours because it's a huge topic and there'll be articles on it. A lot of parents have their children as idols. They do. They raise up their children upon a level where they hold them above what they should. And I have a biblical example of that. Look at Eli. He had his children as idols. He did not chastise them. He just looked at them, and God rebuked him and punished him. Go read the entire account. It's in the Bible. God destroyed that family from being a priest before him, and God punished them severely because Eli did not chastise and discipline his sons. He just basically told them, you shouldn't do that. And he held his sons above God. He basically didn't, because Eli honored his sons above honoring God. And so many people do that. They honor their children to the point where they will allow them to be in sin against the holy God, which is what any kind of disobedience is. Again, you got to come back. I keep coming back to this because once it sinks in, I'm going to be hammering on this throughout all the articles. All of it is a mirror image of our faith before God. If they disobey you and they're being disobedient and out of order, it's a sin. And here's a big, and here's another problem that needs to sink in. And this is another something that for us was a weak area that, or a mindset that we needed to grasp and we're working on correcting. If you allow it, you're also in sin.
Yeah.
That's a big one. That for me, when that hit home, was kind of like a slap in the face to me, a wake-up call, slap in the face. It's like, hang on. Not only are your children in sin, they're probably not going to be held to account of it by God because they don't know it's sin. The biggest problem is because you are responsible for them and God expects you to train them and you to restrain them, the sin is now on your head. So now you are in sin. Because if our children are disobedient and we let it slide, we're actually the ones in sin. Because we are allowing them to sin. And again, if this is something that's going to have to be measured out in a lot of articles to expand in depth, I'm just sharing some mindsets on what we learned in this and what I've been pondering all day here. And it's a huge topic. It's one that we see we're going to have to expand a lot more and be a lot more diligent in on our website and do articles on, because there's nobody out there that's teaching all of this. But God's word does teach it, and it's very necessary and very practical. And when it comes to, I didn't even get to cover all this. I'm not even sure we're going to cover everything I wanted to talk about, because this audio would go on for another hour. When it comes to restraining them and actually holding them in control and how to do it and what it means. There's so much to it that, we're probably just going to leave it there for now because we could just keep going. There's a lot to it, but it's a very, like I was saying, that teaching, that's why we didn't do an audio yesterday, because exactly for this reason. We had that teaching and then we were sitting until it was like almost 1 a.m. or something. By the time we were finished just sitting, we just had to kind of stop with it. There's a lot to digest in this. This is a massive topic that is not taught on. And because we have children, and again, I'm going to say it, most of these things we're talking about are mistakes that we've made. These are mindsets that we've had. These are things that we've done. And like I said, praise God, our children are young. Our children are young enough to the point where they can be molded and fitted, and they're not completely out of order. I mean, we do have them not perfectly biblical right now, because all of these things just got exposed that, okay, well, now we're repenting. Now we're going to work on it. We're going to get it perfectly where it needs to be. But we want to share and we want to be open with it. I mean, we don't want to be hypocrites and basically hide that, oh, hey, we did this, but we're just going to sweep it under the rug. No. It needs to be brought to the light that, hey, we had this and we're struggling with it. Because you know what? There might be parents out there that are, I don't know if anyone's listening to this, that's got young children. Probably has the same mindsets that we had. And we want to help you so that you understand it. Because it's all about redemption and for God's glory.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Amen. So we'll be sharing more on this. We'll be doing more teaching articles and explaining and expounding on biblical parenting and what it means. And again, it all starts, and this is the biggest thing for me, and I'm going to keep hammering on this, is having the proper mindset. View your children properly the way you should according to God's word. And if you have a doubt on any of the things we're talking and it sounds too harsh, ask yourself this one question. Can God's children do it? Can the saints of God, again, I'm just going to go back to this. Can the saints of God, and is it proper for the saints of God, would it be okay for sister and me and brother Tupo, sister Almond, to go to a park and to go running around screaming and jumping up and down on the swings and then get back and then sit quiet for a bit. And then when we sit down to go into God's word, is it proper for us to sit down and just to fidget and jump up and down and just run? Like, picture sitting down with some saints in God's word and all of the saints are just basically fidgeting and they can't sit still. Picture the saints, and one saint is sitting there trying to bring a teaching, and another saint, I mean, our children don't do this, but I'm just giving you an example of people saying you're unrealistic with this. When the saints gather to go to the word of God, and one saint is sitting there, he's just toying and humming, and he's clapping his hands, and he's waving his feet in the air. Okay, well, if you're, no, you'd look at him like, is there something wrong with you? No. No, no, that would be disrespectful and offensive to God. It would be. It would be. And the same way, well, hang on a second. Now you've got a little child, and your model is supposed to be God's family. I mean, this is for me, I guess, the crux of the matter. If somebody's going to say, no, my model is not God's family, then I guess I can't help you. Disregard everything we've said and just go your fleshly way. But for me, I want to model my family after what I know is biblical and what God has modeled. I am not wiser than God. I do not know more than God. I am not better than God. I mean, that's blasphemy. That's the height of pride. God gave me the model of how He orders His house. God has given us the model for how He deals with His children. And I just want to follow that. I want to follow that. And if there's an area where I'm not doing that, I want to be held accountable to it, and I need to repent of it, and I want to get it right. And I guess that just sums it all up.
Amen. So we'll continue on at it. It's a daily process of killing your flesh, being disciplined, and keeping your eyes on Christ and on things eternal.
Amen. So we're going to leave it right there, saints. Hope this edified you. More to come. Again, if we're out of line and we're wrong in any of this, hey, shoot us an email and show us from God's word where we're wrong, because we're learning all of this stuff and we love to be tested and corrected to God's word. So, love to all the saints, seekers, seek Christ with all you are, and may God be praised.